Hey, what's up, y'all? Rossi here from the Air Gun Experience, and we are counting down the days to the premiere of the Air Gunner Challenge Season 4. Very exciting. So make sure you like, subscribe, share, all the good stuff. Make sure you check out the show when it airs this coming Wednesday, every single Wednesday for the rest of the year. It's going to be on the Outdoor Channel, so make sure you check it out. You can find the Outdoor Channel, of course, on any cable network. And Frndly TV, the Frndly TV app is the best and cheapest way to get the Outdoor Channel. Enough about that, because that really doesn't matter, although I guess it kind of matters because it's a huge deal. But today we are joined by an incredible, incredible competitor and shooter and hunter, an outdoors woman. As a matter of fact, Nina Outdoors is in the house. Nina Rogers, everyone, make some noise. Nina, what's happening?
Not much, Rossi. Again, just hunting and fishing, you know? That's my life, hunting, fishing, work.
For those of you who don't know Nina Rogers, she's very serious. That is her life. She hunts and she fishes as much as you possibly can, correct? I mean, that's what you do.
Yes, sir. Anytime, like after work, it's dove season right now. So after work every day, I'm hitting the dove holes. And then every weekend I travel, and I'll travel anywhere from 3 hours to 9 hours just for a weekend so that I can go hunt or fish something. I've already killed a mule deer this season. I've got a pronghorn hunt coming up. I'm really excited. I've duck hunted already.
I mean, the question is, how and when do we get to have you hunt on American Air Gunner?
Whenever you want. I'm good now. I could shoot. As long as I keep my arm tucked in, my shooting shoulder's golden.
All right, so let's talk about the look for a second. First of all, let's talk about you. You are... Currently, you're in the Air Force. You give me a little bit about your life experience as far as like how you got into guns, hunting, fishing, outdoors, sports. Like what was it about your life that led you down this experience that you're living right now?
Okay, well, so my daddy is my best friend in the entire world. And I mean, my parents are together, but my sister was born like a year and change after me. So my mom basically took my sister and held her, and my sister's the girly one, and my dad raised me as his first son. So at about 5 years old, he put a BB gun in my hands and was teaching me proper gun safety and handling. And I think that's really important for kids to learn, because me as a young hunter, I started hunting at probably 9 years old. So 5 years old, I got a BB gun. 6 years old, I got a .22 long rifle. 8 years old, I get a .243, and we're going to the range, seeing our maximum effective range so that I can ethically harvest an animal. Well, I go hunting at 9 years old, and my first game animal was a red fox. And at that moment, when I pulled the trigger, I understood the consequences of what happens when you pull the trigger. Sure. So I thank my dad for putting me in hunting versus like the video game kid that doesn't understand when they're shooting people up. I think that's a very important life skill. And so I've been hunting since I was 9 years old. I learned rifle deer hunting. I have four siblings. So my dad taught me the basics of everything. He taught me the basics of fishing.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Four siblings, brothers, sisters, older. Where do you fit into this hierarchy?
So my older brother is my half brother on my mama's side. And okay. So I'm my daddy's first kid. So I have an older brother. He's like 11 years older than me, then myself. Okay. Okay. And then I have a younger sister and two younger brothers. And I basically raised the last one. So he's into hunting and fishing too, but not really. The rest of the family doesn't really care for it.
Really?
Oh yeah. Everybody's been, but myself and my baby brother like took to it very
well. How much older are you than him?
He's a 2006 baby, and I was born in 96, so quite a bit.
Got it. Okay, so 10-year gap there. okay, crazy. That sounds like a little bit of a difficult life in there somewhere, raising your little brother. That feels like that's got some stories to go along with it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was difficult because I always got so mad because I'm like, these are your kids, telling my parents that. But I did. I taught him. Like, I bought him fishing poles. He researched when he's about 5 years old about this Henry mini bolt, his first ever .22 long rifle. And he researched about bows. And so I got him into hunting. We took him to Middle Tennessee one weekend for a youth hunt, and he killed two bucks and three does. It was crazy in a weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, with a Creedmoor, a 6.5 Creedmoor. So yeah. We started calling him Creed. But yeah, I learned rifle deer hunting because, you know, my dad had to cater to the other kids as well. So he taught me that. He got me things for other types of hunting. Like I got a little turkey pot call, a little slate that he taught me how to turkey call on. So I've never turkey hunted with my daddy. I've always gone by myself, or I've taken people for years and called for them before I killed. And then anytime
but
I go,
you can do a turkey call.
Yeah, I can. You want to hear it?
Yes, I do. My God. How long did it take you to master that? For those people listening on the podcast, like that was her just putting her hand up to her mouth. If you're watching this, you saw it.
So, I mean, I learned on the slate at a very young age. And the first time I ever went turkey hunting, I called in a bird the first time. It was so cool because I had no clue what I was doing. I just did what my daddy taught me in the house, where I drove my mother insane. Just on the little turkey call. But I think in about 2020 or 2021, I started wanting to do it with my natural voice because I saw some people do it. I was like, that's pretty cool. It sounded really bad. It sounded like a dying cat.
I mean, sure.
But I started with there's this person, he's a turkey hunter. His name's David Ellis. They call him Yacht Yacht. So I use the same thing. And I think singing, I grew up singing, so that helped me match sounds of animals. So I'd start with the yacht, 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 and then bring it higher pitch, and then go from yacht, 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 and then I'd bring it to the back of my throat to give it the rasp. So it goes yacht, 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 yacht. It took me probably a year.
There you go.
And a half to 2 years.
Lesson one for doing a mouth turkey call.
This is exclusive content. I've never
this
told
is very this. Exclusive. You heard it right here. How to do the yacht yacht call with your mouth. That is lesson one. You can subscribe at Nina Outdoors for the rest of the lesson to learn to learn the rest of it. That's insane. I mean, that's crazy though. That's, you know, like you hear it enough, and then you can mimic it. I mean, that's the craziness of the brain, right? That you just, and then you figured it out and you just match that pitch.
Absolutely.
In like a singing concept, and then, wow, well done. I'm impressed.
Thank
All right,
you.
Let's keep moving. So turkey hunting, turkey calling, like this becomes, I mean, at what point does this just become your passion? Or was this something at a young age you were like you would go turkey hunting by yourself because that's how you got away? That's where you recharge. That's where you kind of reset.
So let me tell you a story about my upbringing. I was a baby and I couldn't even talk. And my mom would get up in the morning to go to work, and dad would come back from his night shift. He was in the army and he was a cop. And so I would wake up when my mom got up, and my dad would come home really tired, wanting to go to sleep. He'd set me in the little rocker next to him and put some Disney show on, and I cried the entire time. So he's like, well, if I have to stay up, I better put on something that I want to watch. So he threw on a hunting show. I was silent. I was intrigued. I was just engaged in watching it the whole time. So I guess it started before I could even understand things. And then I started going off and hunting on my own. I joined the Outfitters Club in my college. I went to the Air Force Academy. So we did a big annual elk hunt every year. And then when I graduated the Air Force Academy, I think that's when everything started taking off, because I was active duty. I was a grown up. Like, I had time to go and do things on the weekend. So I just started chasing that high, you know, every weekend of catching the new personal best fish or getting a big buck or putting in all the work to get a new turkey or something like that. I've taken girls duck hunting. I've taken girls on their first turkeys. Like, I've guided quite a bit. So I'm ate up with it. I don't have to be the one to kill a turkey. I just want to take somebody and watch it die and then eat some turkey nuggets.
You are a huge turkey fan. I mean, you actually have turkey tattoos.
Yes, like, I have a turkey feather on my arm, and then I have turkey tracks on my ankle.
I mean, that's like you are sold on the turkeys.
I'm ate up with turkeys.
Well, that's a beautiful thing though to hear. I mean, cause like that, like you said, like that's just a part of you. Outdoors, hunting, you know, everyone, you know, the people that aren't into hunting, like they always have these, they try to figure out reasons why we do what we do. And the fact is, we don't really have a choice in a lot of cases. It's just a part of us. It is who we are. And when you get out there, you have this euphoric feeling of being in the woods and in the silence and it's being on the hunt and on the chase. And it's just,
It's a feeling like no other. I feel the closest to God when I'm out there, like before it starts getting light and it's a dead silent. And then all of a sudden the woods start coming to life and the trees wake up and start moving. You see a rabbit scurry across the way and the sun rises and you're like, man, I get to hunt in God's beautiful creation. He created all of this. And when I tell you that the woods wake up, like I'm telling you that it's a dead silent. And then all of a sudden everything comes to life. It's beautiful.
If you've never experienced that, it is an absolutely incredible feeling because, like you say, the crickets, the squirrels, the rabbits, the birds, the hummingbirds, the worms, the beetles, the spider. I mean, like all of a sudden you're just like, oh my gosh, like you can just, and you can like hear it happening mm-hmm. around you, and you're just like, this is awesome.
And the trees are my the craziest one because they go from just being completely. Like, there's no motion at all. They go from completely stiff to all of a sudden they wake up and then they start swaying and the leaves start rustling. And you're like, wow, the trees just woke up.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's crazy. Nina Outdoors, I love it. Getting into the psyche of Nina Outdoors right now and figuring out what it is about the outdoors that makes her come to life. Tell me this. So you've lived your whole life around, you know, guns and firearms and in the Air Force and shooting, and you've probably shot and hunted and done everything. And then all of a sudden I run into you at the Gundy's and I'm like, have you ever shot an air gun? And you're like, I mean, like it was my, a BB gun when I was, you know, a baby. I'm like, oh, of course, that's what everyone says. And then you get to experience. Gosh, I think there we had a big bore. We had a precision rifle. We had the full auto. What was your first thought immediately just being introduced to air guns for the first time?
Okay, so I'm not going to lie. I had this bias, like, air guns, come on, that's lame. Like, I want to shoot the big guns. I want to shoot real guns. What are you talking about?
Real guns.
Yeah, I said real guns. And then you put this sucker in my hand. I'm like, holy crap, that thing packs a punch. I was grinning like a possum eating a sweet tater. It was insane. Absolutely insane. And then, like, my first interaction with you in air guns, I was highly impressed. I was like, what is this? This doesn't feel like my little BB gun. The technology is insane.
Yeah. I mean, you're going from a tiny little BB to a, you know, 500 grain slug. It's a big jump. It's a big jump.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk your air gun experience. from that moment, we did everything we could. You jumped through all the hoops you could possibly jump through to make this happen so you could be on the Air Gunner Challenge Season 4. Tell me about your air gun experience on the Air Gunner Challenge. From the moment you walked in, seeing the other competitors, landing, getting all your gear, and then, you know, let's just kind of talk through some of those challenges again. Not giving anything away, but tell me about that first experience coming into the Air Gunner Challenge.
Okay, I walk in and all of a sudden I see people that I know. And I'm like, uh-oh, these people shoot guns every day. What are you talking about?
Who are these people?
Nick and John Keys, both of them. They're like, they shoot guns all the time. I met them through the Gundy's and I'm like, oh gosh, here we go. And then I see my friend Kayla and I'm like, you're here? What's going on? And Kayla's like me, we're hunters. Like we go to the range, we sight in our guns, we make sure we're good, we have the maximum effective range. I go do that about once a year, and then I go every shot that I take is to try to harvest an animal.
Yeah.
So I was a little intimidated. And then when we started getting into things, I'm so competitive, Rossi. I was straight up not having a good time.
What? Not having a good time? Oh my gosh, what are you kidding? You're competing for this beautiful belt right here, $25,000 cash. What do you mean you're not having a good time?
I'm the girl that doesn't play basketball because I'm not good at it, Rossi.
Okay.
Was stressed the whole time. I was like, I have to win. I was like, I do not need anybody to surpass me in skills. Even though I'm not the one that shoots guns every day. I was like, I have to be the best. And I will be the best. So after looking back on it, I had a lot of fun. Like, type B fun.
Type B fun. I'm sorry. Is that like a virus? What is type
no,
B fun?
No, there's type A fun and type B fun. Like type A, I'm pretty sure, is where you're having fun, like in the moment. And type B, like for example, if I go on an elk hunt and I do everything, all the fun stops for me personally is when you shoot the animal, because now you gotta do all the work to pack it out. A lot of people think that's fun, and I'm pretty sure, I hope I'm speaking this correctly, one is type A and one's type B, but
we'll call it hindsight. Hindsight fun.
Hindsight fun, yes. Hindsight fun.
I thought type A was like, that's the kind of fun with your clothes off, and then type B is the type of fun with your clothes on. I was like, oh, type B fun, like that sounds great, but that is not. Clearly, I do not understand.
No, sir. I would never say that either.
A and type B.
My daddy, I'd like to keep it that way. I'll stick me in a 55-gallon drum.
Fair enough. Now I know. Type B is hindsight fun.
Yes, hindsight fun. Like, so looking back on it.
The competition start. It's funny because, you know, and it happens every year for me. For me, it's old hat, but the competitors are always hilarious, how they're just the best of friends and they go to dinner and they're like, oh, we're going to help each other. And like, then the competition starts and then the competition starts. The chitter chatter, the trash talk, the interviewing, like, you know, who's kind of rubbing me the wrong way. The we'll call it, fakeness kind of starts with the, oh my gosh, you're such a good shooter. And you're like, are you a good shooter? So that's my favorite part. What was that like for you, dealing with the other competitors, four girls, four guys? Clearly you girls were like against the guys. I mean, that's obvious from the get-go. Some guys love to run their mouth. Some guys were playing mind games. Some guys were just kind of like laid back. And then as the competition goes, some girls kind of start doing some similar things. What were some of your experiences just with the competition, like of the competitors?
I thought it was fun. There was a little bit of fakeness going on. I thought it was kind of funny though. Like when somebody says something to your face and then they do something completely the opposite, you'll see that a lot in this season. So
sure.
I thought that was funny, honestly.
But isn't that great about this kind of stuff? Like, where does the line of, am I here to be your friend? Or am I here to maybe kind of work you and lead you astray and kind of maybe get in your head? Because like Ray, right out of the get-go, Ray is trying to get in every single person's head. He's playing mind games from the get-go.
Yes, he was, for sure. He was definitely blunt and honest about it. And then you had the other people that were like, oh, I'm going to be nice to you, but I'm going to backstab you.
I love it. Right? Competition. I love it.
Competition.
I love a good competition.
And then you had some people that just didn't care and they just impressed you with their skills.
And really, and who would we say those people are?
That was definitely Nick Johnson.
Nick, the quiet, right? The quiet assassin. It's very funny. I mean, that's what's beautiful about the season. Coming out of, I mean, episode one, all of you guys are like, Nick's going to win. Like, he's the front runner, which, as we know, and as the competition goes on, not everything goes as planned. And just because you shoot pistols a lot or a certain way a lot doesn't mean that a hunter may not be more agile in their shooting skills and abilities, because maybe this person shoots the exact same way all the time. Or, I mean, right, there's a lot of that comes into hunting and shooting and competition, especially when you go from firearms to air guns. Biggest difference between firearms to air guns for you?
Any distance shooting and the wind. If the wind went, Your shot's going way over to the side. So the compensation, reading the mirage and everything was just crazy for me. That was pretty difficult for me to figure out once we got outside. It was hard for me to figure out anything about. I mean, I started getting it, but just how far the wind would carry my shot was just mind-boggling.
Yeah. At 50 yards, right? 100
yards.
50 yards. Yeah.
Anything. I was just like, what the heck is going on? It made me so mad.
What were some of your favorite challenges while you were there that you just really enjoyed, like, looking back on it?
I loved the trick shots. Those were really cool.
Right? And then, I mean, some of the stuff, the pills off the light bulb, the paintballs off a tee, like, right? I mean, how awesome is that? You can just, like, pluck those things right out of there without breaking the bulb.
I thought that one was really, really cool. And I was surprised with some of the things that I could do with that. Probably the funnest one was the one where we shot balloons off of hogs. That was really fun. It was more my speed. And then anytime we had a shooting tree, my anxiety was through the roof. Not gonna lie.
On the shooting tree. Why the shooting trees?
I never shot at them before. I don't have to shoot at shooting trees to sight in a gun for a hunt.
True.
And then, I mean, they're flipping back and forth and you're just racing. I'm like, ha, I'm a precision shooter. Like, I take my time and I breathe. So now that I have to add speed to it, I'm like, what the heck is going on? I mean, sometimes I was getting scared that somebody would, like, unload three rounds before I could get one off sometimes. Well, I was worried about that.
You and then battled pretty well. Like, you were
anything,
there.
Anything with an explosion.
We have lots of those.
There are lots of explosions.
Aren't those Firebird targets amazing? Like, they're just those little, and they're just like.
Yes, they're so absolutely insane. I love those.
Do you recall some of your favorite guns that you were that you got to shoot? Some of the air guns that really stuck out to you that you were just like kind of blown away by?
Honestly, I only remember the bad and the hammer, really.
The 50 cal?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, that this is more.
Oh my gosh.
That's more your speed, right? The 500 grain slug versus the little pellet.
Yeah, that one rocked me. My shoulder was just messed up.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, since the show, you've had shoulder surgery.
I have had shoulder surgery. I think the show actually did it in work. So I was already kind of injured. And then since the show. Well, okay, that's my fault because I was just like, I'm not going to say I can't do anything. I'm just going to do it, you know, suck it up and drive on. And we had to lift a tire and roll it. And I knew that I probably shouldn't do it, but I did it anyway. And I didn't speak up. I know if I spoke up, then we would have changed some things around to where I would have been able to participate without injuring myself. But I didn't. And I pushed through it, honestly. Like, I pushed through all the pain, and I just kept going, and it just really did me in. Like, I got to the point where I couldn't even lift my arm anymore. And so I went to talk to the doctors. We did physical therapy. We did a cortisone shot, and none of that helped. And then they were like, okay, surgery. Yeah. So my ligaments were actually really stretched out.
Oh, really?
And so my shoulder just kept on slipping out of joint. Which I have a previous labrum tear that I had,
and
that already healed. So, yeah, they went in, drilled a hole into my bone, and anchored my ligaments, and it's been a really rough recovery. But
another reason why you'll never forget the Air Gunner Challenge. Yeah,
I will never forget the challenge.
Tell me this: what are your thoughts on air guns now?
Oh my gosh, my mind is completely changed. Like, going in, I was just like, oh, air guns, that's nothing. And then I went and shot all these different types of air guns. I'm like, holy crap, I could do anything with these. I can go bear hunting. I could go hunt varmints. I could do anything with these. Like, there's some states, like California over there, where air guns are probably more acceptable.
Sure, sure.
So I think it's really cool. I need all of them.
Have you purchased your first air gun? Have you received your first air gun yet?
I have not, but I've been kind of taking a break since I hurt my shoulder.
Sure.
I haven't even gotten anything new, like firearms wise. I've just kind of set back. I was out for a solid 2 months without being able to do anything, like just in bed.
Wow.
It was rough.
Throughout the competition, what was that moment when you were like, that like you kind of like started to believe in these air guns and kind of what they could do and what they were capable of, kind of, and realize like this is different and interesting and a little crazy?
Throughout the competition, it was day one. It was day one. I started shooting these things and doing crazy things that I never thought I would be able to do with an air gun. Things I haven't even done with an actual firearm versus an air gun. And I was just highly impressed from the get-go. As soon as we started the competition, I was just like, wow. Okay. All right. Air guns are cool.
I love it. We got to get you on an air gun hunt. We need to go on an air gun hunt for something big together.
I would love that. I would love that.
I think our viewers would love that. I think people would enjoy watching you hunt. You know, because again, and we talked about this. I talked about this with Kayla. You're in the outdoor world. You are female. I know there are struggles that come with that just because it's a man's world and blah, blah, blah. But like, there's a lot of people that just assume just because you're an attractive female woman that's on Instagram doing outdoor sports that like, you know, you might not be legit or as good at what you do. What are your experiences with that? And how do you deal with it?
I honestly, like, I don't really care what people think of me, especially, like, if people don't know me, they don't matter. And I actually, it affected me at the beginning when I started gaining a following, but then I was just like, why do I care?
Mm-hmm.
I have these people, I've been hunting since I was 9 years old. I don't have anything to prove to anybody. I know my skills, and if I don't know things, I ask questions or I try to learn about it. Like, currently I'm learning how to fly fish. I think it's great.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Oh man, it's so cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know a lot on the topic at hand, so I'm going to stay true to that. I think a lot of my followers like the fact that I am honest about things like that. If I have questions or don't know, I come to my social media and ask people that already have been doing the types of hunting or fishing that I'm unsure of. But I do have those people that say that I'm not a real hunter. I'm not a real woman. And I'm only posting for clout.
Isn't that crazy? And you're like, I hunt more than anyone on my own channel. And you're telling me I'm not legit? Like, it's crazy.
Oh my gosh, I know. I'm like, I'm hunting every weekend. Like, I've already killed hogs. I went helicopter hog hunting this year. I went thermal hog hunting. I've killed my mule deer in 8 hours in New Mexico in a unit that I only had an 8% chance of harvesting one. Because
wow.
Last year during this archery unit tag, only two people harvested a deer. I killed one in 8 hours. It's my first mule deer ever, and it was in
awesome.
Velvet. And I
delicious
mean,
too, by the way.
Oh gosh, I'm so excited. And I've duck hunted. I've dove hunted every weekend. I'm going to do something. And this weekend, it's going to be doves again. But
okay.
Last weekend, it was ducks. The weekend before, it was doves. My mule deer hunt, I went dove hunting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Lubbock, Texas. So that's probably about a 6-hour drive for me. I drove on Thursday night to Lubbock, Texas. Limited out on doves 3 days in a row. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then I drove 7.5 hours up to the unit in northwest New Mexico, up by Colorado, where I had to deer hunt. And I hunted in the morning, and I got really close. And then my wind shifted, and the deer ran away. Like, I needed it to take two more steps.
Yeah.
And then I went back, took a nap because I was exhausted. And then went back in the evening and shot him at just under 35 yards, and then drove 4 hours back to my house. Like, that's what the grind is.
I mean, didn't you leave the Air Gunner Challenge after 2 weeks of competition and drive down south and go turkey hunting?
Yes, I did. Yeah, and I got a turkey in Alabama, literally that first morning, right off the roost.
You're hilarious. I gotta end by asking about these sayings. You're gonna hear them throughout the show. She said a couple today. If it's not a possum eating a sweet tater, it's a chicken lips and liver slide. I mean, I don't even know what half the shit means. What are you saying? Where do these sayings come from? And give us a couple of them so people know what to expect.
Oh gosh, like another one's, I'm nervouser than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Yeah,
sure.
That's that one.
Sure.
And then one that my daddy always said to me growing up was, Nina, you're tougher than woodpecker lips. I gotta say, that's gotta be pretty tough.
Tougher than woodpecker lips. Okay, no, makes sense. Sure. Sure. If you were banging your face against a piece of wood for hours on end, that's pretty tough. Yeah,
pretty
no, tough. No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, he says stuff like, to answer yes, he'll be like, does a one-legged duck swim in a circle? Or is a frog's butthole watertight?
And so these things just fly, instead of just going yes, these things just fly out of your mouth at a pretty consistent rate when you're asked questions, or if you're describing the way you feel, you seem to always associate it with some weird animal doing something weird.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Have you ever written all these down?
No, but I really should. I should start writing poems or something.
Do you know when they're coming out of your mouth half the time? Are you like, ooh, I'm going to use one of my sayings? Or is it just like, it happens and someone's like, what'd you say? And you're like, I don't know what I say. And then you have to like think back about it and you're like, oh yeah, no, is a frog's ass watertight? Because I mean, the answer is yes. If you didn't know, it's because they're frogs and they sit in water and they're not getting like enemas all the time, right? It's watertight. So the answer to the question is yes. Instead of just saying yes, I reference the watertightness of the frog's ass, and you're supposed to know the answer. And now you know that the answer is yes to what you asked me.
I don't know. Like, some of them I come up with on the fly, and I just say them, and then people look at me weird. I'm like, what? Like last week, and I said, is a tin man's pecker always hard? Probably.
Probably. He's the tin man.
He's all tin.
It makes sense unless you get that guy in a can crusher, and then like the whole world's gonna go south.
Exactly.
Is a tin man's pecker always hard? That sounds to me like type A fun. Listen, Nina, it's been and that is where we'll end, because the fact is, yes, tin man's pecker is always hard, and that is the type of fun you can have in the A club.
Type A club.
Nina, thank you so much. We appreciate it. It was so great to meet you. It was so great to have you on the show. You're an absolutely fantastic human being. You're an incredible competitor. You are one of the most entertaining contestants we've ever had on the Air Gunner Challenge. So tell everyone that's listening right now, where can they find you? Where can they follow you? How can they keep up with your adventures?
Instagram, a YouTube, Facebook, whatever. I think I have pretty much all of the socials. And it's at Nina Outdoors _.
Yeah, the underscore's at the end. Don't forget that, or you come across some other random person that's not near as amazing and fun as Nina. Nina, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Best of luck on the show. Enjoy watching it, because I will tell you, the experience you're about to have watching it is completely different than the experience you had filming it. So enjoy it. You'll start to see all the things all the other people were saying throughout in the interviews. And you will start, this will be the perfect time for you to start write down all your sayings. Because if you said it, we put it in there.
Good to hear.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's good to see you. Good luck with that. Still praying for you for that shoulder to heal. And again, keep doing what you're doing. You're a great, great influencer in the outdoor sports world. And we appreciate what you do.
I appreciate you, Rossi. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right, Nina. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. There we go.
That was good.
Nina, thank you so much. You're awesome and hilarious. I could talk to you for hours. Doing my best to keep these around 30 minutes. So we ended up going about